This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey, Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. And first of all, Petey, hilarious on Conan, kid. You knocked it out of the park, bro. That was funny shit. Don't doubt yourself, man. That was killer. Second of all, everybody listen to me. November 14th, showtime, 11 p.m. Make sure you're watching Biscuit's comedy special. If you ain't around, then DVR that shit. I mean, otherwise, how else is this kid gonna make the restaurant that he purchased his first bed in famous? You know what I'm talking about? And boys, listen, I can't speak for DJ Lou, but I don't need a Christmas gift from you two. I mean, I'm flattered that you guys would even consider buying me a Christmas gift in the first place. I enjoy my part in this show, and I'll do it for nothing. That is, unless we get into that top 40 and you boys start making that house money, because then I want a Biscuit-style scooter. Not the fucking ride, of course. I just want to look at it and use it as motivation to keep me on top of my ball-busting game. And speaking of games, J.J. Watt. That's right, Watt. I'm talking to you. What? You're in the middle of an NFL season, you're catching touchdowns, you're intercepting and running touchdowns back, and you're too friggin' highfalutin' to tweet Petey? I mean, the kid's heartbroken, for Christ's sakes. At least give him a 2-second tweet to apologize to his mom for breaking her heart. Come on, will you? You're better than that kid. Later.
Pete and Sebastian Show. I believe it's episode 139 of the show. What's up, bro?
139. Feeling a little lackadaisical today. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because I had some wine last night celebrating the November 14th Jimmy Fallon show that I just booked.
Hey, congratulations, man. Way to go. Way to go.
Yeah, dude, he called up yesterday and said I'll be doing the show on the Friday night, the night the special airs. So happy about that. Coming to New York City for a couple nights.
Hell, that's great. Are you doing stand-up or just sitting?
Stand-up.
And it's the same night that the special airs?
Same night that the special airs, yeah.
Oh, that's a 1-2 punch, man. Sweet.
1-2 punch. So we might make a little weekend out of it in New York. And we went out, had some wine last night, and I can't get it together today. I'm lost.
Yeah. Hey, well, look, you got a lot of big news yesterday. You're, taking it all in, and I guess that's the beauty of the show, right? There's not a lot of pressure on the show. We don't have a lot of sponsors breathing down our throats saying, we need more energy, guys.
We come with the amount of energy that we want to come with, and you take it or leave it.
You already know the wardrobe you're going with for the Tonight Show?
I think I'm getting a suit.
Nice.
I got to go out and get a new suit. It's time. It's time to get a man suit.
Yeah, you know, it's as I get older, I really like when I did the Conan, I really liked my outfit. When I was younger, I didn't heed as much into the outfit, but as you get older, it's like, yeah, man, it plays a big part. Thank God we didn't go that route where we got famous partially because, like, oh, he's the guy who always wears the Dodgers jersey, you know?
Yeah.
Then you're 45 and you go, like, doing a Tonight Show and I got to wear my Dodgers jersey or else they're going to think I'm not keeping it real.
I know. Yeah, no gimmicks.
Get her done.
No gimmicks here, people.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Louisville. That's how they pronounce
Ooh,
it.
Ooh, wow. I'm surprised you're getting internet there.
Oh, come on, man. This is where they have the Kentucky Derby. You think all those people coming here to bet on horses going without internet for the weekend?
Yeah, no, it was a joke.
I know, man. I'm being quick back. No, playing here in Louisville, I think it's a relatively new club called the Laughing Derby. But more importantly, I want to plug next week. Going back to the Comedy Connection in East Providence, one of my favorite rooms. One Friday, two Saturday. I want to say that now before I forget to. So that'll be a fun one.
Nice.
Next weekend. Where are you playing next weekend as well? Are you taking it off?
I'm off this weekend, and next weekend I got a wedding. Next time I'll be performing will be West Palm Beach Improv in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, just going to relax, man. Going to have the family over on Sunday. Going to make my mother's going to make some food. I might jump in on it with a recipe or two of my own. Going to hang out in the yard and just relax for a weekend. So nice to not go anywhere, man.
Nah, hey, listen, I hear you. That's not particularly funny, so I'm switching gears here for a sec. Listen, come November 14th, the ball is going to break, as they say, and this is going to another level on your behalf. And very happy for you, proud for you. But you're going to need someone like me in this show to keep things in perspective. So we're going to have to start now. Many episodes back, there was a little upsetness in your voice about being considered Hollywood, right?
Could you refresh my memory?
Someone referred to you as Mr. Hollywood, and you didn't particularly care for it. We were discussing on a cast, and I was saying, I think you're taking it the wrong way. It's just like when I think of L.A. living and lifestyle, I think of you. But you're thinking of it in a different way. Don't you remember that conversation?
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember who was calling me Mr. Hollywood.
I think it was a relative left a message or an email or something simple like that.
Oh, okay.
And you're like, just because I move out to L.A., you know?
Yeah.
Now, okay, I got this fantastic photo. I saw it, which I believe you posted, right?
Yeah.
okay. Now this goes hand in hand. Now if I was in that photo, that's definitely an office photo. It was awesome. Sebastian posted a photo outside of the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa, California with him, Leno, Steve Byrne, and Billy Gardell from Mike and Molly. What a shot. Very cool. And you wrote, hanging with some friends.
Yeah.
Oh, catching up with old friends. Now that's Hollywood, baby.
What's Hollywood about posting a photo? Why is that Hollywood?
Because when you go to Chicago and hang out with Bill, Ted, and Ken, you don't post that one, hanging with old friends, Bill, Ted, and Ken.
Nobody gives a fuck about Bill, Ted, and Ken.
There we go, man. That's what I'm saying. I'm busting your balls, but I'm just pretending I got to keep it in check. On a lighter note, bro, I don't know if this is an age thing or what, and I know you have different temperature out there, but lately, at night when I hang at home with Jackie, which is normal, I'll put on a pair of cool sweats, socks, maybe like a long sleeve shirt. And then when it's time to go to bed for the first 40 some odd years of my life, like a man, I'd strip down to underwear, yeah, boxers or whatever, and go to bed. Lately, I'd say over the past month, I've been climbing into bed in the sweats and the socks and the jersey. And over the past 2 weeks, I haven't even been taking it off. And I'm wondering, is this an old man thing to be sleeping in fully clothed? I mean, I'm nice and warm. It's making me warm. I feel warm.
Yeah.
And I just...
Yeah, this is age setting in.
It is, isn't it, man? That's what... I mean, who doesn't take their socks off?
I don't know, but doesn't Jackie go, you want to remove your clothes before you get into the bed?
Well, it's usually more of a laying on the bed, watching a little Netflix, and then you get to the point of tired and just turn off the TV and go to bed, and I just don't take it off, man.
I did that once. I wore like a sweatpants to bed, and Lana right away said, take the pants off. I said, okay. Sorry.
Who's calling me at the hotel? What is this?
I don't know.
Who knows me? Oh, wait, you know what? I'm not going to get that.
Who's that? The maid?
No, I think I know who that might be.
Well, you want to give us a... You want to give us a... Fill us in.
It might be... I think it's a guy on a project. Yeah, that he's got an idea for, and I'm not ready to tell him I'm not into the idea. You ever do that? Like, you know, you got to deliver some awkward news, and they call you, and you don't pick up because you're just not mentally ready to say it yet. You just don't feel like, you know, you're in the right spot. Like, maybe you have to step out of your car or pull over or whatever, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Every phone call. Every call that comes in, I never answer it.
So, dude, Jackie's getting old, too. If she doesn't even care, then I'm going to sleep in sweats. And the sweats she bought me recently, oh, my God. They're the kind with the elastic at the bottom So it's, and they're gray sweats, so they're sweats, and then they get elasticy. They look like what they worked out in Happy Days in Greece.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like a cuff at the ankle there.
Yeah, and sometimes there's a little space between the sock and the skin, and in the night I have to pull the sweat down and the sock up to cover that inch of skin. It's
Man, what is happening?
I don't know. I don't know.
This is terrible. I mean, are you a slipper guy?
You know, no, I'm not. I'm not the kind of guy that slips on slippers. I have a pair, but, you know, not really. I don't wear them all the time. Oh. How about you?
No, I like a nice slipper.
Are you a robe guy as well?
Lana just bought me a robe for my birthday this year, and I wore it twice. I don't know, something about the robe, I can't get into it.
Yeah, what is the right time for a robe? I mean, when you wake up, do you find yourself wandering around in your underwear, sipping coffee, going, I could use a robe? I get dressed.
Yeah, just... Why wouldn't you just get dressed rather than put a robe on and then get dressed after the robe?
I don't. It just seems like an extra step. An extra step.
Totally. An extra step. But the way you're doing it now, you're popping out of bed. And are you lounging now in your, what you're calling, I guess, or what we're calling your pajamas? Are you wearing pajamas to bed now?
I guess you would call my sweats pajamas, but no, as soon as I wake up, I put on jeans. I think I want to be buried in jeans. Actually, I'm getting cremated, so I want to be cremated in jeans.
Oh, wow.
I'm a jean guy.
Right out of the bed, huh?
Yeah, man, get them on. Let's go. Let's start our day. Bro, as a man, I don't want anything to go down, and all of a sudden, I'm like halfway running to the emergency in my vehicle, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not even in my jeans, man. It's my cape.
Oh man, I don't know. I get right into shorts and a t-shirt right when I get up.
Yeah, well, you got that LA weather too, so that makes sense. But if I were to put a robe on, Jesus, I'll sweat my balls off with the fucking sweats on already and the long sleeve shirt.
Oh yeah.
So the other day, right, I'm sitting on the toilet bowl with the seat down. I'm just sitting there. I'm reading something. I was upstairs, and I ended up in there. I was talking to Jackie, and I started reading. So totally clothed, not like anything like that, going number two or anything. And she's in front of the sink, and she's getting ready to get in the shower, and she de-clothes, all right? So I'm not looking to do it or anything like that, but I grabbed the ass, right?
Yeah.
And then at one point, I wrap my hand around her inner thigh. And quite frankly, all the time when we're going up the stairs, if she's in front of me, I grab her ass or, I'll pull her. I grope. I do, you know?
Yeah, like full groping.
Now, I'm asking you, isn't that... Sometimes she's like, yeah, you just can't grab me whenever you want. And I think that's exactly what I can do as a man, don't you?
I would think that you'd be able to manhandle your wife at any moment.
Isn't that the one perk, if any, that I can grab a woman's ass without getting arrested?
Yeah. What is the problem here?
Well, just the idea of feeling like, hey, just because you're walking up the stairs and you see a pretty woman that you want to, you know, you just can't grab my ass whenever you want. I'm wondering what men's take on that is in their relationship, especially being married, because I think that's, if nothing else... That's exactly what I can do.
Yeah, I would think you would have full range of doing whatever you want to do. I mean, that's part of the whole being married. I mean, walking up the stairs is one of the most... It could be... Because sometimes when I get behind Lana, she knows I'm going to grab her, and she starts running, and then I run right after her, and we might run right into the bed together. Right?
Man, I'm having a different conversation there.
What do you mean, different conversation?
Hey, no, I hear you. That's very, you know, I love it, man. You're frolicking and it's foreplay.
Yeah, it's a frolic.
But I'm saying Jackie's got a problem with, you know, she's like, you're not looking to do it. Maybe, like, we could even be out in the garage and I turn around, hey, man, she's got a nice ass, I'm going to grab it. And she's like, that's, you know... I guess in her argument is like what if you were doing the lawn and your wife just walked by whenever she wanted and just grabbed your balls, you know? would you start to be like, baby, you know? It's like, Don't grab, you know, just don't grab because you can grab. So that's where it was coming from.
I don't know. I don't know if that, if I would, I don't, I think I would think that was okay. If you want to grab my balls, if I'm walking around the house and she comes up and grabs my balls, I say, oh, okay, you have the right to do that.
But what if she's like, I don't want to do anything, so
hey, don't have to be doing it. It could be just a graze.
All right, no. But like, what if you're like watching Undercover Boss, a show that's near and dear to you, and it's getting to the end, and you have one of your moments where you start choking up? Okay, now this is the kind of way where even I would do it with Jackie. Like, what if as you're getting upset and crying and happiness at the end of Undercover Boss, she just walks by on her way upstairs and cups your balls and goes, "Oh, baby, crying," and just shakes your balls a little and then goes upstairs? Do you feel like she didn't have a right to do that? Or, you know, I'm a husband. She could shake those balls no matter what, whenever she wants.
When I watch Undercover Boss, nobody touches me. Okay?
That's what I'm saying, man. You obviously have boundaries, bro.
Yeah. When Undercover Boss comes out, no one is going to interrupt me and my crying at the end of that. Sorry.
I think it's embedded now. I just can't get this picture out of my head of you and Lana skipping up the stairs, skipping a step as you go.
It's not a skip. It's more of a run with an anticipation that I'm going to get you.
I can't help it when I'm in a goddamn pool and she's in a bikini and my wife goes to swim away. I grab her by an ankle and I fucking pull her back, man. I mean, many a time I couldn't get out of a hotel pool at the same time as her, if you know what I mean. Fucking embarrassing.
Oh, God.
So, anyway, I don't know.
So, anyway, I got to tell you about what we did on Monday night.
What happened?
We got invited to a, it was a cognac tasting, Louis the 13th. I don't know if you ever tried any of this cognac, and I'm not a big cognac guy, neither is Lana, but we took the opportunity to go, and it was at this beautiful house up in Beverly Hills overlooking the city, and we went in there, and Lana keeps telling me, you know, you got to be a puppy dog at these parties. You got to kind of come out of your shell. You can't just kind of hide. Because I don't know how you do it when you come to a party, you don't know anybody. We only knew one person there, the person that invited us. But the rest of the people seemed to know each other, and we were like kind of the odd people out. So now, do you mingle?
Well, yeah, it's a party. I mean, you can't just sit in the corner like a, you know, prom date, missing a prom date.
But do you go up to go, hey, my name's Pete. How you doing? Are you that guy?
No, I don't come out of the gate with the name. It's more like, you know, I'd be near the cognac and I may go, did you try this one? I mean, how many can we have before we got to work? You know, something like that. Crack a joke.
Yeah, so you're doing these like standard stock lines to get involved in the conversation?
I feel it out. I mean, I like to think they're a little more than stock, but absolute smooth segue in. I'm certainly not going to hand out Pete Corielli. And you are?
Yeah, so we end up talking to a little group over there, and it was two girls and a guy, and it was also one of the guys that was gonna give the presentation. He was an Asian French guy. I've never seen anything like it. Guy's full Asian, speaking French. And he was the cognac guy. So we ended up talking to this group. Guy happened to be a football player for the Bears who just got released, and his girlfriend and the girlfriend's sister. The girlfriend's sister shares an Instagram account with her cat. What?
Oh, my God. Have you ever been?
I mean, listen, I know you had a dog, but, and I know you didn't do this, but when you start like sharing like an Instagram account, she's like, my cat's so beautiful, she looks like Angelina Jolie. What?
Oh my God.
What?
I mean, it's like, that's the version, that's the online version of walking down a street and there's a homeless guy talking to himself. That's the online version of that. Right there. it's a crazy person. That's what that is.
Yeah, like she gives the cat a voice. You know, she is, talks as if the cat is, you know, she'll post a picture of the cat and the cat's going, just playing in my treehouse today.
Bro, there's some people that do that that have zillions of followers.
What is that, though?
It's crazy following crazy.
Do you think there's more crazy out there than normal?
Shit, dude. Outside of me, you, my wife, your wife, and 10 other people? Yeah, we're outnumbered, bro. We are outnumbered.
I just couldn't, like... If my sister was doing something like that, we'd have to have, like, an intervention.
Look, I got... Right now, my brother is doing this thing where... He's sending two photos. He's got three adorable boys. I'm the godfather to one of them. Love these kids. But, like, I'm getting two pictures a day. In the morning, there's somebody who loves his Cheerios, and my one nephew's at his high chair with Cheerios in front of him. And it goes out to me and my sister and Jackie and my parents. And everybody says back, oh, yeah, he loves those Cheerios. And then at night, they're all three of them have their hair combed to the side and they just have their pajamas on. And it says, a little ice cream, then bedtime for everybody. Now, people haven't seen a photo of my daughter since the hospital.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. It's like the guy who wrote Catcher in the Rye, Salinger, man. That's my daughter. They know she exists, but you can't get a photo. One time there was a photo, but a leaf from the tree was covering her face. No, but it's like, you know, it's too much. But
so let's stay on that. Do you feel the need to comment on every photo that comes in?
I don't comment on any of them. And actually, about a week ago, I got shut down. And then apparently there was a really cool one because I got a text that Jackie sent to my brother and it came to me. And I go, I didn't get that photo. And she goes, guy, you don't fucking respond, so they shut you down. So I text back my brother and I said, just because I don't respond, don't keep me out of the loop. So now I get all the texts and, you know, it's just, I didn't know it was this is what it was. It's like a daily documentation. And I love my brother and it's like making me feel bad. Maybe I should be doing that. But I mean, now you're doing that with a cat and you're making the cat talk. Yes. I mean, you should be flagged. You should be flagged.
I would think someone would have to call Instagram and say, listen, we need to shut this type of behavior down. I mean, within 5 minutes of knowing this woman, this is what she's telling us. Like, this is your appetizer into knowing you, that you're telling us that you share an Instagram with your cat. And I go, what? I don't know, man. It's strange.
Well, you got to respect a crazy person getting right to the crazy.
Oh, they go right. Yeah, she went right into it. There was no guessing whether or not she was off the wall or not. But yeah, she's sharing an Instagram with the cat. And we go down for the presentation of the cognac. And this is a full multimedia presentation with video. The guy comes out like Anthony Robbins with a headset on, telling people this is a luxury brand, you gotta have it. And then at the end of it, the curtain or the screen that the video was playing on goes up, and the guy with the headset is behind it under lights with a cask that's 150 years old, like a barrel, shipped in from France, and he's sitting over it like he's David Copperfield going, voila! I'm like, what the hell is going on? I thought this was a tasting. Where's the booze? So then we all go in, we all sit around this casket, and then waiters with white gloves bring out the little tasting of the Louis the 13th. Now, it's 100 years old. So it's, I mean, you're drinking something special here.
Wow.
In order for this to be bottled, it has to be 100 years old. Which was pretty remarkable that we're drinking something so old. So we get a little, you know, a glass with this stuff in it. And before you drink it, you have to smell it at three different distances from your nose. Like, first you hold it kind of down by your chest. Then you move it up to your chin. Then you put your nose kind of right in it. And they had some perfume guy come out who has a very sensitive nose. And the guy was able to pick out 253 different scents that were in this particular alcohol. The guy that's doing the presentation could only pick out 50 to 20. The perfume guy, 253. Then you're just supposed to sip it. Just a sip. He says, it's almost like your tongue is squashing a grape. Just get a grape's amount in your mouth so it could coat the palate. I mean, this was a whole ordeal. My question was, how much is a bottle of this shit? So I raised my hand. He goes, any questions? I said, yeah. What's the bottle retail for? $2,800. And he's saying, and if you buy tonight, we'll...
$2,800?
Yeah. If you buy tonight, we'll engrave your initials on the bottle. I'm good! $3,000? $3,000, this guy.
Look, and then, I got a lot of questions. All right, I don't want to slow you down, but I got a lot of questions.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
All right, first of all, you of all people, how do you know this guy with the 253 cents didn't memorize this shit going in?
Well, I don't know. We didn't see this guy. This guy was just telling us that they had a guy come out, and who knows if it's true or not, but I was just... It was a nice little sales technique that there's 253 different scents, anything from cinnamon to peat moss to pecan. So he gave a good description of what we were drinking.
Yeah, all right. I'm just saying, a guy like you who's so street smart, you seem to pick and choose, and I love the entertainment level of the story, but you seem to pick and choose what you believe in not. You really... They tell you there was a guy in here that smelled 253 different scents from this thing, just from sniffing it?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, if you didn't see it, Paulie Shore would tell you he killed last weekend, too. Keep that in mind. I'm just saying, man.
I'm not saying. I just like the fact that they're using that as a sales tool to sell the product. I mean, I think it was a nice little touch that he put that in there. Not that it was going to make me buy it, but $3,000 for cognac. And I was stunned.
Well, let me ask you. Because you went through this, so let's all learn from this because we could use this. My brother-in-law has cognac, and I'll see him on Christmas. So what is this technique? The first one, I sniff it from, like, right around my pectoral in between?
Yeah, it's almost in a wine glass. It's not really a wine glass. It's a little skinnier than a wine
glass. A snifter, like a snifter, right?
Not even a snifter. It's a long-stemmed glass, and the goblet is really small, too. So it's much smaller than a wine glass, but it's stemmed. And you just hold it down by your chest, and he just asks you just to take... Not even a sniff, just to kind of let the aroma hit your nose a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so you could just smell different, because further away you could smell different notes as opposed to closer. And then you gradually move it up to your chin, and then you take another waft of it, and then your senses are then ignited with this other you know, 40, 50 smells, and then you stick your kind of nose in it, and then you really get to see or smell what the hell you're drinking, and then you coat the palate, and then you just sip it. This is something that you would probably crack out for a special occasion, obviously. Maybe a cigar in hand, outside with the guys, maybe celebrating, I would think, an acquisition of an internet company. I don't know when the hell you would drink this.
I tell you, this sounds very ceremonial, and it almost sounds like something that could be done when a man needs to toast himself and no one else is around. And I think, really, I mean, a step outside, sit down, and have one of these things after you just booked a Tonight Show on the same night as your special is a reason alone to have a little bit of cognac. And, you know, maybe, I'm just saying, down the line, if you were in a position where you had Jim Carrey money, do you think you ever would say, let's get the cognac, my dad comes over Christmas, we'll have it? Or will your old school principles always kick in no matter how loaded you may be lucky enough to be someday?
Well, you know what? It's something that you would have to buy and share with people that would appreciate it. I don't think I have anybody really in my life that really would appreciate a $2,800 bottle of cognac just yet.
Well, you don't know me that well.
You drink cognac? Could you even name a cognac? No.
No, I couldn't. Let me ask you this. Do you know, I don't know if anywhere along the line this kind of thing came up, but one, first of all, as a man, do you grow nose hairs inside your nose nostrils that you trim or pluck or whatever?
Yeah, I grow nose hairs not only in, but on either side. I have like almost, sometimes I get like almost fang-like hairs that kind of come out my nose that we definitely have to take care of.
Okay, but all growing in the nostrils, me too. Now, my question is, for someone who does this for a living, like sometimes I feel, the sniffing guy, sometimes I feel like I can't breathe because I'm like, I literally feel when I pluck all my nose hairs out that I can breathe better. Do you think these guys like a lot of nose hair because it lets everything sit in there? And, or, you know, if there's no nose hair, it's no filter. It's flying right through. I don't even have time to digest what just shot up into my brain. I wonder if that's like part of it. Like, I have a big sniffing tomorrow. I got to do a light trim, or I don't know. I'm curious.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I would think they would need as much nose hair as possible. Just to, like you say, have it almost stick so it could just kind of stay in the nose rather than shoot right up to the cerebellum.
Right. Is there nose maintenance on some level for these guys that do this for a living?
I don't know. Like, if one of
these... I mean, like would it...
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, like if the night before a big nose thing is, if he's in a room and all of a sudden Chinese food is wafting up through the outside alley, is he like, guy, this is fucking up my palate. You have no idea. This shit needs to be sterile before I go in.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you literally, is there like a sorbet for the nose that wipes everything clean?
Was the guy doing anything before he sniffed? Any technique?
No, there was no technique. I think the guy just has an amazing schnoz, and he's able to pick up these scents. I think it's like anything else. You know, this guy, some guy might have exceptional hearing. Maybe some guy's got 20/20 vision. This guy's got 20/20 nose hairs.
Interesting, man. That's just an interesting gig. I don't know how I'd feel as a man. Even if I was making 250 grand, I'm on a plane. Someone's like, what do you do for a living? I sniff shit.
Disgusting. Say, who mows your nose hair?
16.
Paranoid. Keep that guy away from my cocaine.
Just so you guys know, the listeners, Pete and I are marrying two podcasts together.
Two shows.
My bad. Two shows. Yesterday we had technical problems. We couldn't get it up and running. I think it was my internet. I had the guys over here reworking my wiring, so everything's up and running, and Actually, I'm kind of glad that happened because a few things have happened within the last 24 hours that I'd like to share with you, one being quite alarming. I just got word today from the best defensive player in the NFL that he has stopped listening to the cast.
Are you kidding me?
And I was quite stunned. He had said that since we were inconsistent, he bailed. And he didn't even know if we were doing the damn thing anymore.
Now, that's really tough to hear, man. That's really tough to hear because I tuned in last year and watched a few Texans games into December. So he could have seeked us out even though we were inconsistent.
So, okay. Yeah, I was batting some text back and forth with him today. The guy scored a third touchdown.
Hey, look, I know. I you know, when you had said that you're glad we got delayed a day because things happened, I assume we were going to get into JJ's game last night. But hearing this news, bro, I'm torn. I don't know if I want to talk about it.
It was like a punch to the chest.
Ah! Knights of Columbus, that hurts!
I said, man, come on, man. We've been doing it every Friday. What's going on? He goes, yeah, I'm sorry. I got to catch up. But, you know, it was inconsistent. I didn't know if you guys were doing it anymore. But he says he's going to start listening again.
All right. Well, look, we're going over to Riotcast in about 2 weeks. We're making the move over. We're going to be part of a big, fun family. We're going to be consistent every Friday. Maybe we'll sprinkle in a few extra shows here and there, but every Friday will be the show.
Yeah, every Friday we're up and running. So that was a little disheartening, but I smoothed that over. So he's back up and running up on the cast. But, yeah, the guy returned a 45-yard fumble last night for his third touchdown for the season. I mean, he is one of, I believe, only five players in one season to have a interception for a touchdown, fumble recovery for a touchdown, and a pass reception for a touchdown.
Now, like, if you were the Texans, right, I feel like with all these games left, at some point you got to be, like, within the five yards of the goal line, and you just huddle up and go, let's get crazy with this, Watt. We're going to do a rollout pitch to you, and you're going to throw a fucking touchdown. Let's do it.
Why not? Well, have him line up under center and take a few snaps.
You know what I think he's capable of doing, and I don't know if this is legal or if it's ever been done in the history of football. If they were at, like, the five-yard line, J.J. Watt could throw a spiral so high that only is going to go about 6 yards into the end zone and then run and catch that shit for a touchdown. Is that legal to, from behind the line of scrimmage, throw a pass to yourself for a touchdown? I can't believe I'm giving him these kind of props. He doesn't even listen to the damn show. What are you listening to? AM radio? What?
I don't know where he went.
That's because we stopped doing the workout regime. People that work out listen. And two, and three, and four.
No, he had said he, you know, if you guys are back on a consistent schedule, he's in. He's been dying to hear about Sadie, how she's progressing through life. And what type of extravaganzas are being thrown at the Maniscalco household? I'm reading verbatim.
Oh, man. All right. But now, should we Google that shit? Can you throw and catch the ball? Is that even legal?
Can you catch your own pass? I guess that's what we're asking here, right?
Yeah, Google will probably come back saying, you're asking because of Watt, right?
Your own pass
in
football.
Insane.
Yeah, guy's nuts.
And bro,
let's see. They have some videos of people actually doing it, but I'm not getting an official ruling on whether or not this is legal in the NFL.
Well, I guess we'll probably find out if the Texans got the Jets on their schedule. I'll tell you that much.
Actually, I'm here at the NFL rule book. Forward pass may be touched or caught by any eligible receiver. All members of the defense are... players at least 1 yard behind a snap, T formation. Quarterback is not eligible to receive a forward pass during a play from scrimmage.
All right.
I don't think it's possible.
Now, first of all, you know from growing up a Bears fan, it's a rarity when you have a defense that's literally more exciting to watch than the offense. I mean, I love when Houston's on defense. It's fucking unbelievable, the whole defense.
Yeah, no, I growing up in 1985 when the Bears were at its heyday, and I don't know if you remember the vaunted 1985 Bears defense, but it was literally like watching the offense.
Oh, it was the offense. It was unbelievable. Yeah. It was so much fun because it was not only was it three and out, but it was like you're probably going to be pushed back 10 yards by the time you punt this shit.
Oh, yeah. They were swarming the quarterback. I mean, literally, right after he said hike, Wilbur Marshall was in on the quarterback so quick. This is like, and that Super Bowl against the Patriots. What a devastating game.
Oh, my God. I feel like the 85 Bears, there were wives on the offense, married to men on the offense of the opposing teams, like that morning going, can't you tell them you have a fever or tell them your daughter's sick and you have to go to the I don't want you to play in that game.
I know.
They were just, I mean, they were just fucking dangerous.
What a team.
Now, first of all, some of the other guys on the line with Houston, I wonder, do they do it on purpose that they all look like Watt? You know, like there's three of them that look like him. And I think that's to throw the quarterback off. You just got, you know, all these big white boys with short hairdos coming at me. And then they got that, what is it, Mara something? I don't know what that guy's name was. It was another beast. What a defense.
Ooh, white guy or black guy?
Black guy, man. He was everywhere. How do you, when you're playing that kind of defense and you go back to the huddle and then this bearded axeman comes out as your quarterback, and he's just not getting it done, man. I mean, how much can you bite your tongue? I don't know if I could do that after a while.
Do you think, you know, after a while, you know, maybe Watt during in the locker room goes, bro, shave the beard.
Shave the beard. Absolutely. You got hair coming out of your helmet. And, you know, it would be one thing if you were, like, good, like Dan Fouts. You're struggling, bro. Shave the beard so you can see the goddamn playbook a little bit better, and let's get this shit going.
Yeah, but Dan Fouts' beard was probably one of the top five beards of all time, I'd have to say. I mean, that thing was well-groomed.
It was. It was, what do they call, groundbreaking at the time. It was, he spearheaded the beard movement, man. It was just perfect.
Yeah, I don't know if any of the listeners know who we were referring to in regards to this quarterback. I think his name is Fitzgerald on the Texans.
Yeah.
His
no,
beard.
No, Fitzpatrick. Buddy Fitzpatrick.
Yeah,
no,
Fitzpatrick. No. He looks like he fell out of the woods in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's not working.
It's bad.
I'm getting, you know, even with the playoffs now, all these guys go with beards for good luck. I'm done with the beards, man. These big bushy beards.
Yeah, the baseball players. The guy was pitching the other night. He had the beard down to his nipples.
That would throw me off as a batter. I'm sitting there trying to focus. I'm looking up going, I think there's bugs in that fucking thing.
By the way, Dan Fouts today still has the beard. Still has it.
Oh, yeah. I know.
63 years old, and the beard looks better than ever.
When you go with a beard at a young age, man, people never know what your age is from 35 to 65. They're thrown.
Thrown off.
Yeah. All right. I had the most epic flight experience to date. And unfortunately, Jackie was with me.
Ooh.
I got it. Yeah, this takes the cake, man.
All right.
So and as I'm telling the story, I want some of the listeners, I'm going to give tips and Sebastian will along the way too, as to learn from this and how to deal with certain aspects here. But anyway, flying home from being out in LA with you guys and Conan and all that, and I come back Friday night. Now we land in Newark Airport at 8 o'clock, and we got a 9 o'clock flight to Buffalo, a connector. So we get over, we're basically 8:15, we're over at the gate, our plane is there, and everyone's sitting there waiting, all right? Now it gets to be 9 o'clock, still no one's boarding, nothing. So I go up, hey, what's going on? A lady comes on the announce, says, we're waiting on a flight in from Toronto, and then those two pilots are going to come over here and fly this plane to Buffalo. Okay, so Next thing you know, that plane's running a little late. It doesn't get in till about 10. They keep telling us, oh, and it's coming into the gate right next to this one, so you'll see it pull up. And finally, it pulls up at 10 o'clock. The airport's getting quiet. We're like, all right, we're finally going to get out of here. As they're getting off the plane, a flight attendant, I hear her say, and the guy in front of me heard it real clear. I go, did I just hear that? And he's like, yep, you heard it. She comes off, and she looks at the guy next to me who's right by that gate. And she goes, you going to Buffalo? And he goes, yeah. And she, as she's walking past, she goes, good luck getting a flight. Good luck getting a pilot at this hour. And we're like, what? And she just kind of walks off. Next thing you know, the pilots come off. They walk over. They say something to the lady. They walk off. The lady gets on and announces, okay, folks, unfortunately, I have some bad news. And as soon as she says that, and this is a lesson to anybody, when you're waiting for a plane and it's delayed, the minute that person gets on that speaker and starts to tell you anything, and it's probably going to be bad news, especially if you're with someone else, have the other person hold them, watch your luggage, and you make a beeline to the customer service. Because when they're done talking, that's where you're going to have to go anyway, and you're going to be behind every freaking person on that plane, and every person's going to have their whiny story. You're going to take an hour and a half before you get dealt. So that's what I did. I bolt right to customer care. And I hear the woman finish up basically saying, we have no pilots to take you to Buffalo because the two pilots that came in are now over their flying time and they're not allowed to fly anymore. And I mean, I understand safety and all. There's nothing you can do about that, bro. It's unfortunate because it was 35 minutes. It's like, yeah, come on, guy. It's going to take you 20 to get the shuttle back to the airport.
I know. What's another 35 up in the air?
I know, man. I know. But I don't think it's up to them, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. So that's what she says, right? So I go over to customer care, right? I'm the first one online. There's like three people. I go up to the lady. Oh, man, I am freaking pissed. Because if it was a broken plane or if it was weather, what are you going to do? But, like, this is a scheduling thing. I mean, TGI fucking Fridays gets the waitress schedule right. Why can't you?
I know.
Right? And by the way, when they're coming in from Toronto, if you all knew by the time they landed that they weren't going to be able to fly us, why didn't you send us wherever you're going to send us an hour and a half ago?
Yeah.
Right? So, and I'm saying all this to the woman, and I'm being as nice as I can because I know it's not her fault. And I go, all right, so what are we going to do here? I need to get out of here. And she's like, well, there's no more flights tonight. And I said, well, all right, what are we doing? And she looks at the thing and she goes, you're obviously going to give me a hotel and vouchers for cab or whatever. But she goes, okay, sir, we'll put you up at the Ramada Newark Airport Hotel and we can get you on a 1 p.m. flight tomorrow. Bro, I'm like, 1 p.m.? I go, you're going to get me a 1 p.m.? You think I'm going to sit in Newark all day? No. I go, you're getting me out sooner. Well, you don't have anything else, sir. That's the first flight. Then get me cab fare to take me to JFK, put me up at a hotel near JFK, and then put me on a flight after. Well, we can give you cab fare or the hotel. We can't give you. I go, what do you mean? This isn't like a choice. This isn't a game show. I didn't make a mistake. You made a mistake. You have to take care of everything. Meanwhile, there's a girl next to me, 20-year-old girl. This blew my mind, right? She's obviously not as aggressive as me. And she's like, I don't know what to do. I'm trying to go visit my boyfriend in Buffalo. And they go, and she goes, well, I guess I'll take the hotel. And they go, well, you're not 21. You can't. We're not allowed to give you money for a hotel, voucher for a hotel, unless you're 21. So she goes, well, then I need a cab to get to my grandfather's. He lives an hour away. We only pay for cabs up to 40 minutes, so we won't do that for you. But it's like, what do you mean you won't do anything for her? This is not her problem. So I start going, no, this is, you're going to take me. And I go, you're doing both. You know, cab fare, and she goes, I can't. I go, you're doing both. You're doing both. Listen, miss, you're doing both. Now go talk to whoever you have to talk to. Get me my Delta flight out of JFK and get me my cab fare. Go ahead. Okay, go. And I'm like doing that to her because So now there's a guy a little off to the side who's clearly in charge, you know. Gotta say, a little. You know, just a guy, big, little heavy set guy, real, like, you know, condescending, not a nice guy at all, right? And he goes, sir, we can't do both for you. I go, why can't you do both? This is not my problem. I shouldn't have to drop a dime. All I want to do is go home. That's, you know. And he goes, all everybody wants to do, sir, is go home, I'm sure. And he goes, but you're the only one getting upset. And as soon as he said that, bro, 100 people behind me at the same time all go, "We're all getting upset. We're all pissed off." And then they all stop and you hear one of them go, "He's just talking for all of us." I'm like,
"Oh, yeah, you were the voice of the line."
I was fucking Jimmy Hoffa, baby. Oh, I never felt so, you know, vindicated, man, you know. So, and he goes, and I go, "There you go, sir. All right. We all want to get out of here. This is ridiculous." Yeah, I mean, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm going, you know, and then he goes, "Would you like to be escorted, sir? How about that? Would you like to be escorted?" That's what he says to me. And I go, "Yeah, to Buffalo." "And so would all these people. Can you do that?" Oh, it was classic, right?
Oh, yeah. That's great. He didn't even have no idea he was dealing with one of the top comedians in the country who has the quickness and the ability to come back and land lines like that. He must have been stunned.
Oh, man. I'm sitting there with two blistered feet from my Cole Haan shoes on Conan, man. All I wanted to do was get home to my bed, right? So then the lady goes, "Okay, sir, we'll give you the vouchers for the hotel because that's definitely got to happen. And then I'm going to see if I can get you the cab fare and take you to JFK. But we're also trying to do something else. So if you could just wait off to the side." And I go, "And then what? Get on the end of that line? Get on the end of that line?" And then she goes, "As soon as I have something for you, I'll wave you over. You don't have to wait on any line." You know, and I'm standing right off to the side. The guy starts making some phone calls, the heavyset guy, right? Comes back about a half hour later, makes an announcement that they just added an 8:15 flight tomorrow to Buffalo. They got a new plane, new pilots, all right? Mm-hmm. So we're all going to come back there. So, okay, so I get my ticket. I go back to the dumpy goddamn room. Spend the night, you know. Jackie's exhausted, man. I just, you know, from the hotel and me getting arguing there. And, I know I got to stop, bro. But, I mean, I just went ballistic. So now, the next morning, we go to get back on the plane. It's 8:15. We're still not boarding. They come on and say, "We're still waiting on our pilots. They're here. Don't worry. They're in Newark. We're just waiting for them to get to the airport," right? So I go up to the counter to the guy who said that because I didn't like the way he said it. And I wanted to see. I go up to him and I go, "Excuse me. I don't know if you know or not. Do you know why this flight is happening?" And he goes, "Well, I see in the logbook it was added. So that's all I know." I go, "Yeah, it was added because all these people sitting here was sent to a hotel, a dump, all right, instead of being taken home. And it was a harrowing experience. And everybody here just wants to get home. I'm just telling you that so that you might want to be a little more delicate with your words. Otherwise, you're going to have a stampede coming up here." And he goes, "Okay, man, thanks. Good to know." Yeah, like, doesn't anyone leave a fucking logbook with the notes of what happened the night before? When I worked at a hotel, you had to leave notes saying, "Oh, 5F was pissed. We got his cable fixed, but he may come down in the morning and want a discount. F him, you know, or whatever." But you leave log notes. So as I go to sit back down, Jackie goes, "You see that guy right there?" And she points to an older guy sitting there with his wife. And I go, "Yeah." And she goes, "He just leaned over to the other guy and goes, 'Oh, this guy went crazy last night. It was hilarious.'" And then she goes, "And then he tapped the guy and goes, 'Watch this, watch this. This should be entertaining.'" And I go, "Did he make it seem like I was an asshole?" And she goes, "No, he just made it seem like, you know, you can possibly go crazy at any minute. And he couldn't believe what he saw last night." So then we get on the plane and we're eyeballing people all around us that were in the same position last night. And then we're sitting back, you know, and Jackie goes, and then the pilot gets on, and the pilot goes, "Bro, the audacity." He goes, "Sorry for the delay, folks, but hopefully we'll get you out of here real soon. Sorry for the 45-minute delay this morning, but this flight was just added yesterday anyway, so I guess you're lucky to get out of here at all, huh?"
Oh.
And now I'm like, for the next 30 minutes of flying, I'm like telling Jackie, "What am I going to say to this guy when I get off? What am I..." And I decided finally not to say anything, but she goes, "Guy, you got it. You just can't keep living your life like this." And I go, "You say that, but do you realize I got us a plane? I got us a plane. That guy called over to the hangar and said, 'I got this fucking Italian guy going so nuts. Pull an extra plane out of the hangar. Call anyone living in the Newark area with goggles and fly this shit to Buffalo. This guy is going nuts.'" I'm telling you, bro.
Oh, man.
I could get out of Dallas with the Ebola virus. That's how nuts I'll go. They'll go, let him go. Let him go. Fuck it. Let him spread that shit. This guy's crazy.
This guy's out of his mind.
And I go, do you acknowledge that, Jackie? And she goes, yes, I acknowledge that you most likely got us a plane. I did. And at one point, I turn around to the whole crowd the night before because, you know, you're hearing rumblings of people in the back like, what's going on? I don't understand. There's some Chinese people that don't know. And I turn around and I go, okay, everyone, we're all getting vouchers to the Newark Airport Ramada. There's a shuttle that'll take you there. Make sure you get your vouchers for food. And tomorrow there'll be an 8:15 flight. You're all going to get booked on it. They're doing that now. All right? See you in the morning. And I walk away. Bro, what the fuck is wrong with me?
I don't know, but you put that better than any representative from the airlines would do. I mean, you're literally, you were like the spokesman for the plane.
Absolutely. And then
I'm surprised you didn't have people coming up to you going, listen, we'd like to go to Tahiti. Do you have any way with... Any pull on getting us on that flight?
And not only did I do that, but then when they gave me my voucher, before I left the desk area at United, I called up to that hotel. I go, I got a voucher from United. Do you have a room? Can I get in there right now? Do you need my name? And the guy's like, nope, we have the rooms. We're ready to go. Because like on my head, I'm like, I'm not getting there and going through it, right? So now we're all going to get the shuttle to the airport hotel, right? When we get there, and I got to give Jackie credit for this. This was her move, and this is something else I want people to learn from. Now, you realize you're about to get on a packed Ramada shuttle. There's 100 passengers. This shuttle can hold 30 at a pop. You don't want to be on that third load. You want to get in and get to that hotel as quick as possible. Now, when you first get on the shuttle, you know how it goes. You put your bag in that little area, and then you slide and sit in the back, right? Jackie's like, guy, don't get stuck in the back, man. Make sure you're on the first shuttle, but you don't want to get stuck in the back because you'll be the last one off. Same thing when you take a rental shuttle.
Yeah.
So I get on the shuttle too soon, and it's like so many seats, and there's no reason for me to stand right by the door. Bro, I open up my bag, and I fake fish around in my bag going, oh, I can't find my contacts. I need the stuff. As 30 people shuffle past me, I'm like, oh, where's my stuff? I'm sorry. I know you're trying to get by. Oh, I just need my... And the driver's looking at me like, take a seat. And I'm like, I just got to find my... And he's like, no, I understand. So then when the doors closed, I was smushed up right against them. So when they opened, I'm off. And then when I got... Last thing I want to say, when I got in the hotel elevator, there was another young couple in there with us. And the guy literally said... I just want to say thanks a lot, man. I mean, you really took care of that and got. I said, no, man, you got it. They'll walk all over you. You have to.
It's fascinating, and I want to touch on that shuttle bit. When you got off the shuttle, do you dart to the front desk, leave Jackie with the? How do you work?
Absolutely. I give her the eye because she's sitting in the back, and I go, we got two bags. Make sure you get them. And she's like, I'll get them. You get off. And I get off, and I run in. I'm the first one there. I hand the guy my voucher. Oh, it was great. He didn't want a signature. He didn't want ID. He just slid me two keys. Perfect.
I don't know. You know, these airlines should put you up at like a 5-star. If they said, listen, we're sorry for the inconvenience. We have an SUV waiting for you out front, ready to take you to the Ritz-Carlton. Enjoy a night stay on us. Wouldn't that be much easier than going, we only give a voucher for 40 minutes?
Yeah, oh, it's just so degrading, dude. And then they give you vouchers for that say United that are good at all the food stands in the airport. And each one's worth $7, and they give you three. So, like, you get something, and the lady's like, I need two vouchers. It's $8.50. And then she looks at you and goes, but you don't get anything back, so you might want to grab a muffin or some gum or something because you have $5 more on the voucher. Oh, my God. Just fucking take me home. I just want to go home. I don't want to.
What a joke.
So, in closing, my work still isn't done because then I go home, and then I contact United because I want compensation. I mean, you didn't get the job done.
Yeah.
So I write this great letter, man. I posted it on Facebook, too, to see if I want to put it on our Facebook. And I said to people, see what you think I'll get back. What do you think I'll get back, you know? And, you know, I explained in my letter the whole story to them and that you put us in a crack den. And I officially got my answer yesterday. I'll post it on Facebook. United, okay? $800 round trip flight. Make me stay in a crack den motel overnight. Then the flight's delayed the next day, all because you can't book pilots. And they gave us $75 credit each.
$75 credit.
Covering my bags.
Are you happy with that?
Oh, I'm furious. They said, once you click here, we're no longer responsible or held liable. So I wrote back, I'm not clicking there. This ain't over. I'm contacting my lawyer. It's the principal. All that, you know, I'm a blowhard. So I'm waiting for another response.
Man, this is a developing story, people. Keep tuning in to the Pete and Sebastian Show for updates on Pete's saga with United Airlines. Will this be a tipping point with you and the airline where you're going to start taking another airline? I mean, because really, you're a comedian, you travel a lot, and maybe United covers a lot of your routes and it's just convenient for you to fly. When does it become an issue where you go, I'm not going to give the company my business anymore?
Oh, it's done. And quite frankly, that was just, I used a lot of miles I had. I've been Delta for a long time. And all, I'm doing the thing now, even if Delta's $100 more, I'm Delta, Delta, Delta. Love Delta.
Wow. All right. There you have it.
Yeah.
Do not cross Pete or he will jump ship. This is a man who is loyal to his companies.
Now, you know, Sebastian, we've been doing this a while and it's medicinal on some level. And I'm sitting here going, all right, maybe this is me. Am I this guy? Am I going to be this leader of this shit? Or do I have to calm down? I'm going to have a heart attack, right? So yesterday, 2 days ago, I call a plumber. I need him to fix this faucet upstairs in this tub. I just can't fix it, right? So they go, okay, he can come tomorrow between noon and 5. Now, first of all, in my head, I'm like, that's a big fucking window for a faucet. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? God, yeah. Can narrow it down? What is he doing? Plumbing for the goddamn skyscraper going up on him? Anyway, I go, all right, I'll be here from noon to 5. And she goes, okay, I'll call you when he's on the way. We'll leave a message. And I said, okay. So I'm outside working from 12 to 5, you know, washing the car, messing around. At about 2:30, I check my phone. There's a message from them. Yeah, hi, the plumber. It came from 1:30. The plumber was ready for you, but you're not there, so call us back. I call back, and I go, yeah, I'm here. You know, can you send him? I'll send him now, but it's going to be about an hour because he's on another job. We already called once. I said, you told me to be here from 12 to 5, miss. I'm here. I didn't know I had to have the phone and call back. I just, please, I'm here. I'll be here till 5. Just send him when he can come. And she goes, and she gets annoyed with me, and she goes, okay, sir. But it's like, bro, is it me? What? How many times? You said be here from 12 to 5. I'll be here. Send the guy. I got to come down.
I don't know what it is with you. I don't know if you're giving off an energy or what this might be, but it's kind of a good segue into what I wanted to talk to you about in regards to Jimmy Pardo.
Oh, okay.
And this goes hand in hand what we're talking about. You listen to the link that I sent you about what he says to people that asks him if he's making money on his podcast.
Correct.
Okay. Can you tell me, did you ask him, how did you say it? Did you go, you make money on that? Or
no, I didn't say any of that. I met him, someone introduced us, and I said, hey, I'm a fan, you know? So I was like, oh, shit, man. I forgot that he'd be there and stuff. I was like, great to meet you and stuff. And at the same time, they were asking me the credits I want to say. Someone else was standing there. So I said, the Pete and Sebastian Show. And I said to him, it's our podcast. And I go, I fucking really dig it, man. Podcasts are fun. I mean, doing this is fun. And he goes, tell me about it. I bought a house with one. So that's how it came up. I didn't say.
Oh,
I didn't
he
say
just chimed. Okay, because the way he made it sound on his podcast, where that was his line that he says to people who ask him if he's making any money on his podcast, and I thought he was referring to you when he mentioned that on his cast earlier this week.
Yeah, no, I think he just has a lot of people ask him that. Yeah.
Okay. So I just wanted to clarify that. That was just a little sidebar between me and Pete. Really had nothing to do with the listeners.
Yeah.
And I want to add something to the travel segment here of our show, which I just became a platinum member at Hertz rent a car. And I became that due to a hookup through my father-in-law. And let me just tell you what this program's all about. For those of you that rent cars out there, which I do a lot, this Hertz program, Platinum, gives you the benefit of landing at a particular airport and having your car delivered curbside.
Wow.
You call Hertz, say, I'm here. They drive the car to you.
That, do they drop you off too?
What do you mean?
When you're going home, when you're returning your Hertz vehicle, do they just take you right to the terminal and drop you off?
You could drop it off curbside, have somebody waiting there for you.
Oh, wow. That is fantastic.
I'm sorry. I heard that. I said, this is the program for me.
No, you're literally taking an hour and a half off your day.
Yeah, right?
I swear to God, I've rented cars. I swear to God, bro, I bought my Jeep quicker than I've rented some vehicles. Like the pit.
What is the problem renting the vehicles? I don't understand it. I don't understand how that whole system works, why it takes so long. Shouldn't you be able to just go to a car and drive it off the lot?
That's it. I go up, here's my license, here's my credit card. I don't want any of your coverage. I'll bring the tank back on full. Give me the keys. And there's what are you typing a fucking novel?
I don't know. The questions they ask. And what type, I love when they ask you the insurance. And what type of insurance will you, I go, I ain't doing it. And then they get like, well, sir, you know, it is beneficial for you to have that. I ain't doing it.
Exactly, man.
Or the upgrade. We have a full size vehicle, if you like, a lot more room. Listen, when I booked the car, I saw the full size vehicle. I didn't get that because I wanted the car that I have in your computer. What are you trying to give me to? Oh, yeah, we got an SUV. I know you got SUVs, but I got the compact.
Right. When I put my eggs on the counter at the supermarket, she doesn't look at me and go, you sure you don't want a steak? I mean, we got steaks back there for $2 more. Wouldn't a steak be nice?
Yeah, what is that?
And how about this? I'm literally fiddling on my iPhone 5 right in front of her as she says, would you like to rent one of our fucking caveman-like GPS systems from 1975 for $12 a day?
Oh, what is that? I've never even seen a GPS. They got it. The damn GPS is in the car. It takes up. It's like a passenger. It's so big.
Yeah. It's got this big claw. You hook it up to your dashboard. let everybody know you don't know where the hell you're going. Holy shit, man.
Yeah, I'm surprised they're even offering GPS now. I mean, like, who the hell doesn't have a map GPS in their phone to guide them to where they need to go? Then they're, like, whipping out actual maps.
Yeah, with their pen. This get is where that, you are.
Yeah, you're here. Get the guy. I'm here. I know where I'm at.
Oh, looking at that map, lady, I'll tell you where I am. 1975. Jesus Christ. Oh, I hear you, bro. It's unbelievable.
God bless it, man.
And you know, you get, and the people, sometimes I'm on those lines for the rental car and people are online forever in front of me. And I'm like, what's taking so long, man?
I don't know. I try and listen in to figure out why they're having an issue with the car. And I was just in, what, San Francisco last month trying to get a car or return a car. I don't know what I was doing, but I was in the line. And there was just a couple up there going, that's not what we ordered. We ordered, and it's like, oh, come on, man. Just get in whatever they give you.
Yeah, just get in it and get the hell out of here. What about when they ask you? Do you plan on leaving the state? You know, that's when I'd be like, it's none of your business, honey.
Yeah.
I don't know where my business is going to take me, but it's none of your business.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going to go with the damn thing. If I want to drive back to L.A., I might. I just don't know. Or where are you staying? Why does it matter where I'm staying?
What's it to you, man?
Yeah.
I might
where are you staying while you're in town? Oh, business or personal? I don't know yet.
Bullshit.
So, yeah, I just don't like the questions. Too much questions when you buy something, or I don't know. Ever notice when you go into like a drugstore or Best Buy? What's your zip code? What does it matter? Just I'm buying a DVD player or whatever. Why do you need to know where I live?
Yeah, it's just because they want to get their hooks in you with their emails and all that. It's just crazy, man.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just a little too much.
So we got to make a commercial that the guys are going to be kind enough to air for us on all the Riotcast channels, saying we're coming to Riotcast.
So do you want to do that like on the side, or we just want to come up with that impromptu?
Yeah, right here, man. I mean, I got to tell you, I mentioned the song to you before the show started. And this song by Sam Smith, Stay With Me.
Yeah.
And I dig this song, but I want to have Lou play it in a second. But it's one of these songs, I'm really digging it, but it's already starting to lose its flair. It's not going to be a lifetime classic. But right now, I'm digging it, and I was listening the other day, and I was like, oh, it would be a good commercial to change the lyrics and do a song about our show. But then I said no. But, dude, are you familiar with the song at all?
Yeah, no, this is Lana's new favorite artist, this guy, Sam Smith. This guy's cranking out hits left and right.
Oh, is he? Because this is the only one I know, but man. And he does not look rock and roll. I want to play it, all right? Lou, play. It's called Stay With Me, all right? And come in when I tell you, because I really like it. Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. You hear that piano right there?
Oh, yeah. Nice.
See, I was going to change the lyrics a little. Let me see if I can remember them a little. Watch.
Guess it's true, I'm not good at a one-night stand.
Yes, it's true, we don't have guests on our show.
But I still need love, cause I'm just a man.
I like to still think it's funny, though.
These nights never seem to go to
plan. That one doesn't need changing. We don't put the show on every time, we should.
I don't want you to leave, will you hold
me? See, bro, we don't want them to leave.
Oh, won't you
stay with us? Right, man, as we go to Riotcast.
Nice.
This guy, I mean, if you were dating this guy and he's like, want to hear my new song, and he sings it to you, oh. Now watch, I had a good lyric right here. Ready, watch this.
Why am I so emotional?
Why is Jimmy from Boston such an asshole?
It's
not cool that Lou follows Eddie Vedder around.
Deep down I know this never works.
I don't know if any of that makes sense, folks, but this is Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco, and we got 138 great episodes, and we're bringing them over to Riotcast.
That's right, people. Follow us over to Riotcast, and we're embarking on a whole new adventure, and we're so excited to be coming up on board, so definitely come listen.
There you go, baby. See you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Alright, we can fade out.
It's a good fade out. It's a good song, by the way. And the guy doesn't even look like he's got that voice. His look doesn't look like he's got that voice.
No, not at all, man. He looks like he might be best friends with the guy that does have that voice. This is my buddy from high school.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, but why? What else? You said he's making hits left and right. There's more I don't know of?
Oh, yeah, this guy's got songs left and right, man. He's cranking them out. He's got another one called Leave Your Lover. What else does he got? In the Lonely Hour. I mean, this is Restart. He's got a lot of songs. Lay Me Down.
Oh, all right. I got to look.
Yeah, check out the album. He's popular.
Hey, listen, I got to ask you in closing. I got an email from a woman who's a principal from the school district where I went to school, and she's wants to me to contact her about being involved in a fundraiser for the school district. Do you think my loyalty should be to the school district where I went to school if I was going to do a show or something, or where I live now?
I don't know. I like loyalty to where you grew up and had ties to. Living now, since you've been you're very new to the community. I don't know. I'd stick to what you know.
Well, I'm doing my yearly Christmas show at the Polish Club. They asked me to do it again, and it's already published in the paper because I do. The whole show is about the town, so it's great. I rip on everybody. I'm going off on my doctor. This guy's making me take tests I don't need so he can have a little extra summer house on the lake. Yeah, we see your house. We see your house. But as far as, your school doesn't know. For anyone listening that went to high school with Sebastian Maniscalco, if you just invite him to be the king of the homecoming parade, honorary king of the high school, he'll come back.
I'll come back. Absolutely.
I mean, when I told you episodes ago about Brad Pitt's locker, if they said to you, we want to do that with your locker and have a ceremony, you'd be like, when are we doing this? I'll clear my schedule.
Oh, yeah. I was never hugely popular in school. I was kind of on the fringes. I was never on the football team, basketball team. I was a soccer guy. And, I wasn't in the clique, man. I just wasn't in the clique.
Did that bother you, or were you happy with your clique?
I was happy with my clique, and I wasn't really participating in the high school activities. I never went to the basketball games. I never went to Taco Bell on a Friday night to hang out. I had a fake ID when I was 17 years old that my father helped me get.
Just so you could buy cigars.
Yeah. I just wanted to go dancing. So, I mean, while everybody else was going to the basketball game, 18 years old, I was going to a place called Alumni Club with about five or six of my friends. We all looked like we were 30. I was like, I was so old in high school. Like, people might have mistaken me as like a student teacher.
Now, were you going to these dance clubs because you wanted to meet girls or because you just really liked to dance?
We liked to dance. We liked to meet girls. We just didn't fit in with the like high school vibe. Like everybody hung out like at the park, or everybody had their cliques, and we were wearing 3/4-inch leather jackets with Cavaricci's and Giorgio Brutini's. It's just it was just a different style,
Oh, man. Oh, that is so funny. I know guys like that in high school where they were already 25. They had their own car that was nice. They had a job. They were dancing on the weekend. I mean, I'd go on and drink beer in the woods, and they're like, what? Yeah, why would I do that? What am I, an animal?
I know, man. I know. Hold on 1 second. I got somebody at the door. One second.
All right.
And now, for the Sebastian's Got Somebody at the Door comedy clip moment. This is me, Pete Corielli, on stage recently, having an intimate weekday moment with the crowd. Let me apologize for the F-bombs ahead of time. I was riffing. And let me also say, Jimmy from Boston, you're not an asshole. I was just busting balls because at the beginning of the show, you bust balls. I know that was weighing on you, kid. Okay, DJ Lou, can you please play the clip?
It's deer hunting season. Getting out there hunting, bro?
Yeah.
Of course you're not. I know you still got that button shirt. You are?
Every day.
Every day?
Yep.
What are you, fucking Daniel Boone? So you're only allowed to get one?
Five.
What?
Almost five.
You're almost allowed to get five? What does that mean? You get four and a half? You gotta cut it in half and leave half the fucking deer in the woods? And then call him and go, go get the other half! What is almost five? What does that mean? If you can get them.
Four doe and one buck.
Four doe and one buck. Oh my god. Why don't you watch Bambi before you go out? Would that change anything if you watch Bambi on TV and then went out and hunted?
If it's brown, it's down.
If it's brown, it's down. Oh my god, if I was an albino deer, I'd be walking around. I mean, if you saw a completely albino deer, would you walkie-talkie fucking Davy Crockett over here? I said, Davey, this is Daniel Boone. And he'd say, this is Davey, come back, Daniel. I got an albino deer. What the fuck do we do? I live in a small town upstate New York now. He's fucking dealing with this man. I'm driving in the car with a buddy of mine, basically about a mile and a half off of Main Street. We're going down some side road and there's a big front lawn. This goddamn deer on the front lawn of the house, nibbling on the grass. As we drive by, my buddy goes, oh, fire my gun. Well, what does that fucking mean? Like, what if you had your gun? You would get out and say to those kids playing on the swings over there, come here, yes, kids, and shoot the fucking deer on your front lawn. Is that what you do? And then you knock on the door and ask the guy, can I get a knife? I just shot a fucking mammal on your front lawn. And then you get this out of here. Is that what you do? You do all that? All right, I have my gun.
This is why. Hold on. This is unbelievable. Let's get it. Hold on. Let's get into this.
What do we got?
Did you hear that?
No.
This is why, you know, my gate's broken. Soon as the gate's broken, then you start getting who's still doing door-to-door sales?
Amish.
Amish. No, I opened up the door and there's two guys sitting there. Hello, how you doing? The guy's Indian. Hello, how you doing? I can't even do an Indian guy, but we're coming by because would you be interested in putting your house on the market? Now, the guy asked me if I'd be interested in putting my house on the market. Why would I, even if I wasn't, which I'm not, I'm not interested. Why would I at that point go, yeah, you want to sell it? Like, why would I do that?
I don't think, does that ever work?
Yeah, like, has he ever knocked on a door and said, you want to sell your house? And the guy's like, you know what I do? Like, I go, I just bought the house. He goes, what about buying another one? I go, do you see the size of this? I got no money left. Get the fuck off the porch.
Unbelievable. I mean, I could maybe see the guy walks up. He's like, I got this fantastic, brand new in the box, $10 toaster. And you might go, you know, holy shit, my toaster broke 2 days ago. I haven't been to the store yet. I'll take the toaster. Maybe, probably not. But a house?
This guy just asked me if I wanted to buy a home. I mean, like you said, encyclopedias, this guy,
What if he knocked on the door?
That got me so upset.
Yeah, but what if he knocked on the door just as he did, introduced himself, and just said, sorry for the intrusion. I'm a well-to-do businessman from India. My wife covets this house and its location. I looked on the market and saw what you paid for it and saw you just purchased it. I'm willing to pay you double that in cash for the home and all expenses to move to another home in the meantime. And here's my card. Would you even go to Lana and go, want to double down on our money and get the fuck out of this one?
Well, if he just came to that and said that, I wouldn't believe him. If I open up the door and there was, say, an entourage of SUVs outside.
Yeah.
With security, with earpieces, and
he was in a Saudi robe with the headband.
And there was Saudis everywhere, all over my property, right? And there was, in the midst of all these SUV, was a Phantom, Rolls Royce or something, and they had a suitcase, and the suitcase was handcuffed to one of the Saudis. And they said, here's cash. Lana would not know we sold the house until she came back and saw Saudis all over the property.
Oh. Can you imagine? Oh, that's just, I was going to say, and the Saudi looks at you and goes, I'm willing to deal now. I'm not going to lie to you. I was planting possums hoping to scare you off the property.
Oh, by the way, I think the possums are back.
Oh, they're not getting the message, man.
They ain't getting the message. I think we got a new crop. They're playing around in our trees. The other night, we were outside having a glass of wine. The dog across the way was barking. And I think we might have a couple new visitors. But I don't know, man. I'm not going to worry about it right now.
Nah, look, you know, by the time you're done getting all those possums, you could have bought yourself a nice bottle of Louis the Tenth cognac.
Louis 13, my friend.
Louis 13. My bad.
Come on, all get right. it right.
My bad. All right. So where are you? What are you doing? What's the story?
Okay, where are we? I'm off for a couple of weeks. I'm returning back on the road at the West Palm Beach Improv on October. Yeah, I think the dates are, let me just check real quick, 24, 25, and 26, and then off to Phoenix, Arizona, and Tampa, and then ending the year in New York City at Gotham.
All right, all right.
How about you? Where are we at? Louisville.
I'm in Louisville, but next week, East Providence, Comedy Connection, East Providence, man. Come on down. I love that room. One show Friday, two Saturday, and of course, PCorielli.com for all dates. Bro, great hanging. Glad we were able to get this up and going again.
Absolutely. And until next time, we'll see you. We'll see you next week.
All right. Later.
All right, man. Bye.
The show has ended.
I decided finally not to say anything, but she goes, "Guy, you got it. You just can't keep living your life like this." And I go, "You say that, but do you realize I got us a plane. I got us a plane." That guy called over to the hangar and said, "I got this fucking Italian guy going so nuts. Pull an extra plane out of the hangar. Call anyone living in the Newark area with goggles and fly this shit to Buffalo. This guy is going nuts." I'm telling you, bro.
Oh, man.
I could get out of Dallas with the Ebola virus. That's how nuts I'll go. They'll go, "Let him go. Let him go. Fuck it. Let him spread that shit. This guy's crazy."
This guy's out of his mind.